Jerry Bader Show, 10:35. The Super Bowl is set. The Seattle Seahawks will face the Denver Broncos, or the Denver Broncos will face the Seattle Seahawks, whichever, in New York, 2 weeks from yesterday. These, I think, are the two best teams remaining. They're not the teams I picked. I kind of thought San Francisco was on that roll, on that Packers roll of 2010. I'm really glad that they're not going. Really glad. Actually, to me, the worst thing would have been Harbaugh versus Belichick. Who do I cheer against? Would have been very, very difficult. Trust me, I am not a Pete Carroll fan at all. However, I think it's really cool that Russell Wilson is playing in the Super Bowl. But more than that, I have challenged a lot of people in the media who said that the Packers could have won a Super Bowl with the defense they had. No, I don't think so. I do believe defense wins championships. In fact, I can't remember who said it. It's offense sells tickets, defense wins games, and kickers win championships. It's the way it should be. It doesn't really work out that way. Although I think this game could be that way. I think it's going to be very, very close. But you have the best offense versus the best defense. And in the best offense versus the best defense, assuming that the team with the best defense also has at least a decent offense, and the team with the best offense has at least decent defense, you know, that's the prerequisite for this conversation. I will give the edge to the defense. And that is where I am on this. I don't know what the score is going to be, but I'm going to very narrowly at this moment, I suppose, subject to change. I really think that it's going to come down to Seattle's leading. Peyton Manning has one last chance. And either he does it or he doesn't. And I think with the Seattle defense, he doesn't. It is a ridiculously good defense. They also, the Seahawks, faced, I think, a much better defense yesterday than they'll face against Denver. I'm not saying Denver's defense is awful, but it's had moments. Dallas just carved it to pieces. And so actually did Peyton Manning's old team, the Colts. So I think it's going to be, yeah, that's right. So did the Pats in the regular season matchup. The Broncos were way ahead. Where was that game? Was that Foxborough or was that, I don't remember where that game was. But to me, this is just an outstanding matchup. Best offense versus best defense. And I think it's the two best teams. Now, if you saw the end of the game ended when defensive back Richard Sherman was defending receiver Michael Crabtree. And it was a strange pass for Kaepernick to throw. And it was bounced around and then picked off. After the game, I have that right, Jason, right? Sherman was defending and then another defender picked it off, right, on the deflection. Sherman did not intercept the pass. It was a linebacker. It doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter who. It's fine. So Aaron Andrews, sideline reporter, you know, he's the winner, you know, big important interception or defense of a pass that led to an interception at the end of the game. He goes unhinged on her. I really felt sorry for her. She didn't know what the hell was going on. Who said what about you? She thought he was referring to like someone in the media. That was the sense I got. No, he was talking about apparently Crabtree went off on him, and he was the one that ended up getting the 15-yard penalty. It didn't matter. It just made the kneel down a little closer to the end zone. I'm telling you, sometimes these guys just can't turn it off. But I think it's going to be a really, really good matchup. This is not recent. This, in fact, is from January 12th, so it's more than a week old. The Washington Post had this, and I think a lot has changed in that week. Chris Christie has problems, but he's still atop the 2016 GOP presidential field for now. He did definitely inflict damage, but he is still seen as the front runner. Second is Rand Paul. Third is Scott Walker. There has been a lot of question, a lot of wondering, does the damage done to Chris Christie help Scott Walker? Paul's problem is he's a senator, and I actually think that's a really big problem. I think Ted Cruz has that problem. I think Marco Rubio has that problem. I really believe conservative voters are looking for someone with executive experience and results. Whatever you think of Chris Christie, he fits that definition. He has executive experience, and he has had results. But clearly, on a number of issues, and when I had Scott Walker on a while back over the book interview, when I had him on, he downplayed that, and he thought Christie was conservative enough to be president. It's a weird dynamic because they're friends. They are very close friends, and I cannot imagine what a primary race against those two would look like. I don't know. I can't figure it out. I don't see them going after each other. On the other hand, this is why people don't believe Christie, because they believe when push comes to shove, he'll go after anybody. And that's why they just are having a hard time believing that he wasn't involved in Bridgegate, which is the most annoying sounding gate that we've used since Watergate. Doesn't roll off the tongue well at all. Why don't they call it Traffic Gate? Yeah, exactly. That's what I call it. It sounds better. But then, well, it's the GW Bridge, connect, whatever. The other thing I disagree with a lot of people, that this isn't a big deal. Well, it's just a few lanes. It's people who have no idea what traffic is like out there. When my daughters marched in the St. Paddy's Day Parade, which is one of the coolest moments of their lives, we stayed in a hotel in Jersey. We took the Holland Tunnel in every morning during morning drive. Ugh, Jason is wincing over there. People have no idea. Getting from Jersey to New York is just a drag. People do not understand. They're obsessed with traffic out there. So that's why it's being seen as a big deal. I don't know how this plays out, and I think ultimately, if it does hurt Chris Christie more than it already has, it will probably help Scott Walker. All right, a leftover from last week. Where did I go with that now? Well, I just had it. Here we are. Leftover from last week. There is a hot selling book online. I don't care if it's Amazon. I don't care if it's other sites where you can purchase ebooks. It is Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf. It is, of course, a 387-page anti-Semitic manifesto on the Jewish peril. And the Nazi ideology has become a bona fide online sensation, topping Amazon's propaganda and political psychology section as of last Thursday for just 99 cents. That's a big part of it. You can buy it for a buck. That's the appeal of a lot of books online. Elsewhere, two different versions ranked number 12 and number 15, respectively, in the politics and current events section of the iTunes bookstore. While such rankings in one of several categories don't make the book a true bestseller, they do indicate a spike in popularity. Jason says, how long till this book is a requirement for students in college? There are two arguments here. One is that the book should be annotated. In other words, that it should be put in context so people understand that an endorsement of this type of racism should not just be accepted at face value. Here's what I think is the more interesting argument. There are Jewish organizations who say nobody should profit from the sale of this book. That 100% of proceeds from the sale of the book should go to causes, charitable causes, probably related to, you know, racism, anti-Semitism, whatever. but the companies shouldn't be profiting on the book of hatred that basically Adolf Hitler used as his blueprint for the Holocaust. Do you agree or disagree? If a book is so offensive, so vile, should a company not profit off it? Should Amazon not be clicking in that 99 cents, so on and so on and so on and so on? They're making a lot of money off this. Should they, given the nature of the book? 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Don't have a lot of time. It's 1046.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.